It's Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know.
This just got exciting.
And now, here's your host, Aaron Smith.
All right, welcome to the Starters Club podcast, where we're going to be talking today about hiring. And I have Shalon Ironroad here, and Shalon with ShalonIronroad.com. I know you help businesses or business owners really get organized, make business a little easier, all that good stuff. And one of the ways you do that is by helping them hire VAs, right?
Yep, that's right.
And so that's, go ahead.
Yeah, I help people prepare to work effectively with a virtual assistant.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's so important because as someone who has probably had a few more misses than hits, let's be honest, I think it's really important to understand how to hire the right people and not just, you know, for them and for your sake too. Uh-huh. So you're not making this, repeating the same mistake over and over and over again. Yeah. So we are recording this live on Blab. For those of you guys watching, we will open this up for questions. We'll start talking first and you're more than welcome to comment, but we'll open the hot seat up in just a moment. So let's talk about this because we're talking about hiring. We're talking about, you know, you're at a point. Okay. And I hear this all the time. We're at a point where it's time to start bringing someone in.
Yeah.
And tell us some of the first things you should start thinking about when you're making that plan to bring in a VA contractor, somebody to take over, not an employee necessarily, but somebody mm-hmm. to start taking over some of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first of all, congratulations on taking the time to make a plan. I think a lot of people make that mistake where they hear an expert or a guru or, you know, a success coach say, you know, go get a VA, it'll change your business, which it will. But there's something else that happens before you get that virtual assistant that's really important that will really change your business. And so that's what I'm excited to discuss and what I'm really proud of you and all the others here listening for thinking through that. I know like delegation is a huge fear for a lot of people. And a lot of people think it's just a mindset thing or something they just have to get over. And really, the fear and lack of preparation you're feeling is for a reason. You know, there are things that your business needs before you take that step to delegate. So, yeah, to answer your question, I have a three-step process that I think is hugely important to go through. The first step is, and chime in, like, I would love to hear your experience, negative or positive, but a huge, huge issue that I saw. So just by way of background, I used to be a virtual assistant and an online business manager, and now I consult with business owners. So when I would start with a client, it would be one of two situations. It would be this person is so overwhelmed that they can't even think straight, and I would come in and help them get organized, or this person had their systems in place, they had things rolling, and they needed an extra set of hands so that they could go build other things. And you know which camp you want to be in, right? Like, you want to be the second kind of client. Always, like, almost 100% of the clients in the first category, I couldn't do a whole lot for them other than helping them get organized. Once we had them organized, you know, like, they didn't need me anymore. They were clear on what they needed and that was it, you know, and some businesses are that way. They're just in that phase and of their business.
Describe organized, like, what makes a really organized entrepreneur, solo entrepreneur versus somebody who's, and I know we can think of that, but what are some things you've seen on the other side or helping entrepreneurs that show a really organized person versus somebody just flying to the ceiling?
Yeah. So first of all, they know what their business needs. They're not just doing stuff just to do it. So that's the biggest type of organized I want you to be, is somebody who, okay, has read the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and knows how to say no to things in their business. They know their goal, they know their main objective, and they know what their business needs to get it done. And if you need a coach to help you with that, awesome. But take that step and think through that process. That's the number one thing I feel makes an organized business owner, because everything else kind of falls into place after that. Another thing to be organized is just have a basic scheduling policy. Like if you need 30 minutes before a call, know that about yourself. Just being very aware of what you need, I think is the best way of being organized. Every business is different. Every person is different in the way that they like to make those things happen. Like there's not a set of tools that I think every single business owner has to have. But just knowing yourself enough to be able to say no to the extra stuff is the best way that you can be organized.
Yeah, I love that. I would completely agree. If you've not read Essentialism, read it. Game changer book. So absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about, you talked about your 3-step process. What do you see as somebody, okay, I'm getting ready to hire a VA. What's a great next step in being prepared?
Okay. So step one is you want to take yourself through a delete phase. So read the book Essentialism and evaluate what you really need and then let the rest go. So step one is delete whatever you possibly can. The reason why I say delete is because if you bring a virtual assistant in before this phase, what you're doing before you hire her is going like this with your business, right? You're using both hands to hold everything up, to juggle, you know, you're just trying to keep things from crashing down. And when you bring a virtual assistant in, yeah, it's awesome to have that extra set of hands, but what are you doing? You're handing her exactly what you've been doing, right? So that's not going to be a successful relationship, no matter how amazing your virtual assistant is, no matter how rock star you are at communication, no matter how great your mindset is about delegation, handing somebody this pile of stuff, like stuff is going to drop. So go through that delete phase and go through it in a very serious way, like do a massive spring or fall cleaning on your business. So yeah, that's step one, delete.
Okay. Awesome. Step two, what do you say next?
Step two is figure out what you can automate. Now with technology, there are so many things that people used to hire virtual assistants for that now, I mean, you don't need a virtual assistant for. Like Erin, with your scheduling system, you've automated that, right? When I was a virtual assistant with one of my first clients, that's what I would do for him. Like he was a popular speaker and author, and I would help schedule his podcast interviews. I would help schedule his speaking and stuff. And now, like, you just have automated tools to do that, and you don't need another person in your business to do it. No matter how glamorous it might feel to say, you know, here's my assistant, I'm gonna schedule through her, you know, like it's not worth it, I don't think, unless you're like.
Well, I was gonna say that's a great point because. I did that with Meet Edgar. I was really at a point where even using Hootsuite, I was like, oh my God, this is taking so much time. Signed up for Meet Edgar. That eliminated the need for a VA there. Mm-hmm. And I just found it with AdEspresso from my Facebook ads.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a monthly, or I paid yearly, but it's a yearly fee, but that's way cheaper than hiring a VA to do that work. So I love that. And that's what I've done every time before I get ready to hire somebody is, okay, is there anything, okay, I need this, 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 and this done. Is there any of that that I can automate somewhere somehow? And it does end up saving you a ton of money on the VA front. And a lot of times you get more of what you want that way anyway, because you're kind of doing it yourself anyway.
Totally. Well, and I'm a big fan of being self-sufficient in life and in business. You know, as much as I possibly can, I love, not in a control freak kind of way, but I love to know that I have control over the stuff that I own. And so I have a VA. We have jets flying over. I have a VA and I love using her, but I don't rely on her. Like my business can function if she chooses to not work with me anymore. And if she, you know, like if something happened to her, heaven forbid, my business wouldn't crumble because she wasn't in it. And I think a lot of people rely so heavily on a virtual assistant and don't work in those automated kinds of things that they just live in fear. Like even if they have a virtual assistant, they're like living in fear that like she's going to go, or, you know, like she's going to all of a sudden decide to start her own business, or like a coaching business or something, you know, and that's not a fun way to do business. You want to be partners and be excited for her if she starts a business.
No, it's so true. I love it. So what's step number three?
Step number three is, what will I generate? When you hire a virtual assistant, ideally you want to use her to run things in your business so you can be creating a revenue generating product or service, or expanding your time to bring money in. If you're stuck running things alongside her, that's not a good use of her time or yours. So you need to have a plan of what you are going to use that free time that she'll bring to you to generate revenue for your business. That's how you'll grow, and that's how you'll be able to build your team, because you'll be able to pay, like they'll be able to pay for themselves, basically.
I love that. And I was actually just emailing somebody about that the other day and was going to scope about this. No matter if it's an employee or a VA or something, a lot of people hire in this like fear-based notion and then pray to God money comes in to support them, or they feel like they've got enough money where they're like, okay, I can lose, I can lose $500,000 a month, whatever, on a VA, but it shouldn't be losing. Like, that money should always be generating more some way, somehow. And you've got to make that plan to figure that out.
Right. You've got to think in terms of return on investment, ROI. Anytime you spend money in your business, you want it to bring money in. That's how your business will grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to ask about this too, because this has come up a lot in people hired and talking to VAs and stuff. It's more of a, okay, I may not know how to do that, but I'll learn how to do that. And here's my thing. I've been burned. And this is going to come a little sassy-ish, but I'm sick of training people on my dime, right? So as a VA, if I'm hiring a VA, what do you recommend on, let's say you need certain skill sets. Do you say, you know, screw it, I'm paying the premium for these skill sets, I'm not doing any training? Or do you see a lot of people would say, oh, you know, just, yeah, if, you know, if they don't know Infusionsoft, you know, teach them some Infusionsoft for a cheaper dime. That stuff I don't like doing. What do you recommend on that front of training versus hiring at the skill set you absolutely need at that time?
Yeah. So if there's something in your business you don't even want to deal with, like what you said with Infusionsoft, if you want somebody who doesn't need your help or guidance at all, pay a little bit more and hire somebody who knows Infusionsoft and make that a key hiring criteria. Otherwise, you're going to feel like I'm paying this person to learn what I want her to know. Now, here's the thing, like, make it one program though. Like, choose one program that's key for the person to really know and hire somebody based off of that. Don't try to find somebody who knows Infusionsoft, Lead Pages, Evernote, like every single tool that you have or might possibly have. You know, you see a list of tools online and just copy and paste that into your job description. Don't do that, because that's going to rule out a bunch of people who would probably be an excellent candidate had they known all of those tools. Hire somebody instead who maybe knows one tool that you really highly prefer, that your business really relies on. Like, Infusionsoft is a big deal for some people. But if you're not using Infusionsoft yet, don't try to find a virtual assistant who knows Infusionsoft. It doesn't matter at that point. Like, when you get Infusionsoft, she can go through with the tech support team and learn it all, you know, like, and you can pay her for that or not. It, you know, with a virtual assistant, what I've told my students, I train virtual assistants. So what I teach them to do is, if they don't know a program and it's going to help their business, like if it's going to make them more marketable, they shouldn't be billing the client for that training time. You know, that's an investment they're making in their business. So, you know, maybe there's a virtual assistant out there who's willing to do that, you know, who's willing to learn on her time and her dime, a program that you have. You know, if she wants to work with you that bad that she's willing to do that, it says something. But make it one program that you really care about, and then the other criteria, make them help you find the person that you love to work with, that you can trust, that you can go on vacation and know that your business is in good hands, instead of like, okay, well, this person knows how to do this and this and this. They might be crappy with talking to my clients, but at least they know Infusionsoft and all these other programs. So pick one program that you're really picky about and have that be part of your hiring criteria. And then the other ones, have them be characteristics that you really work well with. You know, do you need a great communicator? Do you need somebody who, I don't know, is really great at lead pages and social media? You know, like, don't be specific about the tools, because the tools are going to change. Like, all of these tools change.
I love it. I love it. Such great advice, because I think it's so important, especially nowadays. I could just share VA stories all day long. So let's talk about building the trust. And Wendy's asking, like, give examples about generating phase for VA. Do they formulate your ebook in a pretty design, et cetera? I mean, I don't know if I fully understand the question. I know there's just so much. Designing an ebook is definitely one of them. There's so, so much. I think anything you do in your business at some point could be passed off to a VA, whether you've got the skill set for it, you just don't want to deal with it, or, you know, like designing a pretty ebook, it's not my thing. Like, I don't even want to learn it at this point in time, just because it's not my thing. So I think with both, but I'm not sure that fully answers the question. But I want to talk about building the relationship. How do you start? You're looking for a VA. You say, okay, so you've got your stuff figured out. You got your stuff all set to go, and you know what you need them to do, and you start looking. What are some ways to begin that hiring process so you're setting the relationship up for success? I don't want to just say you find, you know, somebody. You want them to be happy. You're happy. It's a great relationship.
Yeah. So a lot of people are ask, where can I find somebody I can trust? And where can I find somebody to create this great relationship with? And my advice is word of mouth. The best VA relationships I've had have come from other clients that I had worked with before. And I know a lot of people have had great success just asking their network, asking their community that they've created. And so yeah, ask your friends, like put a tweet out to, well, I wouldn't maybe tweet it, but instead, like if you have a Facebook group, like Erin, you know, send a message out to your Facebook group and say, hey, I'm looking for a VA. And maybe somebody in that community will step up and say, Erin, I love you. I would love to work with you, you know? So it's best if you can find somebody who already knows your business and how you like to operate, because then they know what they're getting into. So yeah, word of mouth is the best way to find the person. And then as far as communication and starting off, I'm really glad you asked that question, because it's so important, just from the very beginning, to set that tone. If you are really picky in your business about professional tone in communication, you should be communicating very professionally with them from the beginning. If you're, you know, casual and fun and really laid back, send that vibe, you know, and find people who can work with that vibe. Like sometimes that's a turnoff for people if they're used to a very corporate, kind of cold environment. So use your tone in your email, even in that first message, when you're sending it out to your friends and your followers, you know, say, If you're really professional in your tone in that message, then they'll pass that along. So that's the first thing, is the tone. And then make sure you have a great contract or a great agreement in place. Like a virtual assistant can come with one, but if she doesn't have one, then you definitely need to have one in place, or be prepared to review hers if she is the one bringing the agreement. But have an agreement in place. No matter how casual you feel like you are in running your business or how laid back you are as a person, having that agreement in place that's very clear, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be in legal language, really. You know, all it needs to say is, this is why I'm hiring you. You're an independent contractor. That has to be very clear in the contract if you're working with a VA instead of an employee. And then these are the basic thing. Like, you don't have to like list specifically what you're hiring them to do. Like, email box twice a day, or, you know, like it doesn't have to be that specific. But if it's tech support or customer service or general admin, list those things so that it's very clear in the contract what you're hiring them to help you with.
Okay, Wendy has a great question. Do contract terms or anything, does it change if you're dealing with overseas versus someone in the same country as you?
Oh, that's a great question. Wendy, if you're going to work with a virtual assistant overseas, go through a firm or go through a middleman because they have their contracts in place as part of those programs. Like with People Per Hour, I use them for some tech stuff. And they have a, oh yeah, Chris Ducker has a it's not a firm. It's like a, I don't know. I think he helps find your virtual assistant.
What about,
he doesn't,
like,
but his group
I
does.
Think it's called Upwork now, right? Like, yeah, I was going to Upwork or Elance. It's all, it keeps changing. But is that good enough or no? Like if I find somebody overseas on Upwork and we don't put a contract in place and I just say, do this job for $400. Am I like completely open?
Yeah. As long as Upwork or Elance has that in place, like if there's an agreement that both of you agree to, then that's enough. What you don't want to, and in addition though, to that contract saying what you're paying them for, you'll definitely want to have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. And to be honest, I'm not sure how it works with the non-disclosure agreements with virtual assistants overseas. You'll have to consult a legal professional for that. That's what, like, can we talk about overseas versus US based?
Yeah, go for it. No.
So with the overseas virtual assistants, they're very inexpensive and a great resource for things like transcribing your podcast or helping you do research. But if you bring them into your business and show them, like give them a bunch of your passwords and give them a whole lot of responsibility, you're running a risk, right? Like if they're not US based or in your same country where you know the legal, like where you're both in the same legal playing field, it gets tricky and it gets risky. So if you want to work with an overseas virtual assistant for most of your work, just be aware that you're running that risk. And some, you know, there are great firms out there that help you take care of that legal stuff and who, you know, can work with you to make sure that your information is safe and protected. And they can tell you what will happen if something, you know, is violated or anything like that. But for me, like the advice I give business owners is this: hire somebody to be your right-hand person, hire a senior virtual assistant, and instead of them using a bunch of hours to do a lot of the smaller tasks for you, have them help you work with an overseas virtual assistant, because then, you know, you're not giving an overseas virtual assistant your passwords and all of those details, but you have the help that you need. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. Now, aren't there tools? Because don't you, I mean, honestly though, like, okay, there's, I totally see your point with shady people. Like we got shady people everywhere, right? No matter where you go, there's some shade happening. So I get that, like, if you're in the same country, you have a better way of legally taking action against something they might do. But don't you kind of need to be careful too? I mean, just handing your passwords off to somebody in the same country as you too, right? I mean, and how can you protect yourself from that? Like, I know for me, if my web guy is working on my website, like I create a username and password only for him and then I delete it when he's done, or, you know, just do certain things like that. But are there other things you can use to help protect yourself against? Because you're handing over a lot of, I mean, depending on what they do too. I mean, it could be, I mean, I got a file with all my and whoever works with me, like they could totally hack away. I mean, they really could. I know it's not smart, but it's me. So anyway, how do you protect yourself a little bit on that?
I use LastPass. Go to lastpass.com. And you log your own passwords in there, but your virtual assistant and your team members don't see the actual passwords. You can create user accounts for them. and they can have access to your accounts through LastPass, but they never see your exact password. And that is hugely important. Like, do that for sure. Never, ever give a virtual assistant, no matter how much you trust them, a Word document with a list of your passwords. Like, they're probably a very trustworthy person, but who knows who they're living with? Who knows, exactly. You know, like, who can hack into their computer? So yeah, there's so much, like, you can prevent problems from happening by just, yeah, covering yourself and thinking through things like that awesome question you just asked.
Yeah. No, I need to be more careful. Any pros and cons? I know you mentioned, like, doing overseas for things like transcription. I know, here's my thing. And I've got the best web guy in the world, and he's overseas. Mm-hmm. I love him to death. The thing is with him, there's no creativity happening, right? It's just like, I need you to do this, like, he's helping me. Yeah. I sold a business and he's helping me with the whole the website transaction. And it's like, okay, download this, do this, make it sure she gets it. And it's very, very specific. And that's what I found working overseas, is it's mm-hmm. very specific. Like, there's no mm-hmm. room for, like, creativity, basically, is what I said before. So right. Do you find that too? Like, if you're going to work overseas, you have to be more specific maybe English speaking, US, Canada, you have kind of more opportunity to hire the people who cannot just do exactly what you say, but help you to in your business, more in your business. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. And absolutely. Yes. That's my answer. With the overseas virtual assistants, you're exactly right. Be prepared to have a specific list of steps you want them to take. So if they're transcribing a podcast for you, it's easy, right? You tell them step by step what you want them to do. And there are things in social media you can have the overseas virtual assistants do by giving them a step-by-step template of things to do. But if you're looking for more of an extra, like, brain mastermind relationship in your business, or somebody you can forward an email to and say, please handle, then you're going to want to work with somebody who is a US or Canada-based virtual assistant, or UK, you know, somebody who understands it's the language barrier, really, you know, it's just the language barrier. It's not like overseas virtual assistants aren't creative, because they are. Like, every human being is creative. But it's just the language barrier and communication.
Yeah, because I always share this story. I had somebody overseas do some memes for me, and I'm like, how hard is a meme? And I mean, it was so horrible. And I'm like, how do you screw this up? But I didn't give enough direction. So I always joke about that. So I'm going to open up the seat, Shalon. So before I do, can you give us, where can we find you? Because this is where I'm going to cut off the podcast. Where can we find you if we want to know more information? And anything you've got upcoming that we would love to know about, please tell us.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. My website is ShalonIronRoad.com. And I have some exciting stuff coming up. I'm doing a mini course on how to prepare for a virtual assistant, walking you step by step through that process. And also on my website, I have, if you go to ShalonIronRoad.com/VA, like virtual assistant, I have some free resources for you. There's a mini course in there of questions to go through with your virtual assistant as you're hiring them and as you start working together. There's just a bunch of free resources there for you to download that'll help you with this process. Because it's hugely helpful for your business if you go through that preparation. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun, and I hope it's been helpful.
No, it's been totally helpful. So all of that's going to be on our notes page too at thestartersclub.com.
The Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know. See you next time on the Starters Club podcast.